Good morning.
Good morning.
After hearing the gospel reading, the Finance Committee and Vestry may be sitting on the edges of their seats, hoping that this sermon will encourage everyone to consider their tithes and their pledges for the coming year. I'm sure we can recall messages about this particular passage that nudged us in that direction. However, sometimes we need to hear the words again for the first time to get a fresh understanding of what we might be called to do. Here is how it is written in the Message. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous. Give to the poor. Get yourselves a bank that can't go bankrupt, a bank in heaven far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Okay, I'll let that sit with you for a moment. When I first heard the verse about treasure and heart, I was drawn to the word heart. Partly it might have been because I have a dear friend who turned 74 today, an educational mentor and spiritual companion who recently had heart surgery. In fact, he had it on the exact same day as Brian did, and he had the exact same situation where he was pushed a week later because of a dire emergency. So if you can relate to Brian, this might work for you as well. Before his surgery, he put it this way concerning the procedure. This is the heart, the seat of human compassion, the focus of poetic passion, the center of what most people consider to be human. And they are going to stop it during surgery. And this is my heart. And maybe it's not strong enough to endure. Thankfully, my friend, Ambrian, survived the momentary stoppage and restarting of his heart. But his concern is real for all of us. What happens if our heart stops beating? Or if we lose heart? Or if we just don't have the heart to do something? The heart not only keeps us alive in a truly physical way, it is also the very center of who we are and what we do. There are scientists and spiritual thinkers who believe the heart is connected to our very being in ways we have yet to comprehend. These are spiritual thinkers, of course, but also scientists, those who thought that they were only studying how the heart functions as an organ in our bodies. And yet, what they are finding is that it does much more than that. A few years ago, researchers found that the heart generates the largest electromagnetic field in our bodies, larger than the brain. Due to this electromagnetic field, the heart processes information in such a way that it can learn, remember, and make decisions. Wow, this has all kinds of implications, but it probably isn't surprising to anyone who has spent time in a loving relationship, nor to any of our ancestors who explained life relative to the heart. The word for heart, lebab in Hebrew and cardia in Greek, occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible. In fact, we've said it several times already today. Depending on the reference, the word heart can mean a person's center for physical life or for emotional, intellectual, or moral activities. Some examples of where and how heart is used start with Abraham, who feeds his guests in order to sustain their hearts. Later, Samuel reminds the people, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." In many places, including when Jesus talks about the heart, it is the emotional state of the heart that affects the condition of the rest of the body and how one lives. So it seems whether you are a scientist or a philosopher, or an ancient wise one, taking care of the heart is important for your well-being. How do we do that? Beyond all the good and healthy things we do for our physical heart, it seems this story is telling us there's more. It is in our very actions that we find our heart and sustain it. Jesus reminds us in the rest of the passage that our actions matter. Take action, he seems to be saying, in order to bring about the kingdom of God. Figure out what needs to be done and do it. When I first showed up at Circles a few years ago, it wasn't because my heart was in it. I did have some attachment to the godly play figurines and storytelling materials that I use when we teach Sunday school and tell stories. My heart was attached to that aspect, so I showed up to protect my heart interest. Then a little boy pulled at my heartstrings, and the rest, they say, is history. I now show up to protect a different treasure, the kids. If you are not particularly attracted to helping the folks at Circles, which is perfectly understandable if you don't know them, nor have any connection to them, you might want to consider the treasure we have right here at St. Peter's that I know most of you have a heart attachment to, and that is Deacon Betty. Consider this. If you were able to take over the planning and gathering of food for Circles once a month or commit to contributing to this endeavor, you will be sharing your talents and giving a well-deserved rest to Deacon Betty. Who knows what will happen to your treasure of talents and your heart after that? During the last few summers, I have tutored a student in an intensive reading and spelling program. Each week, I found that I looked forward to Tuesdays, the day we worked together. I wondered why. You would think that I would like to have a break from kids during the summer, and I do. However, this young man has found a place in my heart, and our weekly sessions of learning and pulling weeds are some of my best days each summer. Then I realize my treasure, my investment of time and energy, is where I find my heart. It is something that I've noticed on other occasions as well, but this particular situation has paid off in so many ways. And not one part of it has to do with what we often consider treasure, money, since I am not paid for tutoring in dollars and cents. I don't share this story to suggest that I'm doing anything out of the ordinary or something that others cannot do. I share it because it is such a simple arrangement, and yet it brings me such great joy. I am able to share my talent teaching, and in return, I am rewarded with the companionship of another. We pull weeds together and work in the school garden, but it is being with Aiden's essence that is the true treasure. Our reading in Hebrews reminds me one of my favorite quotes from the heart comes from The Little Prince, a book I read to my third graders every year. When the fox is helping the little prince to understand how to be a friend, the fox gives the little prince this advice. Here's my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. This seems to be true whether we are in the presence of a loved one or experiencing the essence of a special place, like Camp Galilee at Lake Tahoe. The heart knows what the eye cannot see, nor describe, nor even direct others to experience. The heart just knows. When we find ourselves investing time and energy in something we love, we are following our treasure to where our hearts have already shown up. So, back to Jesus. He reminds us that God wants us to have everything, the kingdom itself. All we have to do is invest our treasure of time and energy and our very selves, and we will find our hearts. It's that simple, and yet those who miss the mark really miss it. Those who understand it cannot even describe how it is so. That's how it is with the stories that Jesus tells. The very essence is not a literal translation of the words, nor even a list of things to do. It is a reminder to follow our hearts by investing our treasures. If that isn't what the Vestry and Finance Committee were hoping for, I understand. However, an invisible understanding might be just what we need around here. More heart finding with more treasure investment. After all, we are reminded in Proverbs 17, a merry heart does good, like medicine. So, what will you do to have a merry heart? Take a moment to consider your treasures and how you might invest them or share them or use them. And then take a moment to write something on your heart that you might do in the next month or two or year. And this is only for you. This isn't for anyone else to check in on, just for you to think about how you might use your treasure and think about how it might be attached to discovering your heart. Think of something that you want to do with your treasures that will help to bring about the kingdom of God. I'll give you a minute or two to do that. And if you can't see in the dark, just take it home and do it. There are paper hearts made by the Sunday school kids for you to write on. Think of something that you want to do with your treasures that will help to bring about the kingdom of God. It could be as simple as smiling at the grocery store line, letting someone in traffic, or as much as talking to Betty about helping with circles. The gospel lesson read by Deacon Betty ended with, "You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This shouldn't be heard as a threat. In my understanding, the Son of Man comes anytime our hearts are open and our treasures are shared. We hear again the joyful words in the message, "Don't be afraid of missing out. You are my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. Be generous." When you are finished with your hearts, put them in a special place where you can refer to them. They will serve as reminders of how you might use your treasures. Then get to work. Take action. Start sharing. It'll do your heart good.